You're listening to Agile Ideas, the podcast, hosted by Fatima Ibuchi.
For anyone listening out there not having a good day, please know there is help out there. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Agile Ideas, the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. Really appreciate your time. And today I wanted to share a little bit more about capabilities. Now, capabilities is something that I've been spending an inordinate amount of time in the last few months developing, refining, and further uplifting for our own business. But interestingly, when it comes to capabilities, it wasn't something that was quite clearly understood by myself early on in my career, let alone for others that are maybe looking at the capabilities of their organization or their business and assessing how they can improve those capabilities and uplift them to better align their objectives and what they're trying to do strategically. And so I got the idea to talk about capability reviews today and the necessity of these, because it's something that has been, I would probably say, single-handedly the most important piece of work that we've done, not only for our own business, but actually for pretty much all of our customers or most of our customers over the last 4 or 5 years. Now, capability review may not really be, it may sound self-explanatory if you're quite clear on the capability side and what that means. But I think that sometimes people confuse capabilities with, individual capabilities, but often capabilities can also be referred to at an organizational level. So I'm going to explain a little bit more about what it is that is a capability, the differences between sort of business capability and business processes, develop a little bit more understanding for you around what a capability review consists of, take you through some of the findings of reviews that we've done over the years and some of the interesting and maybe disappointing things that we've found for clients as a result of these reviews, and then talk through a sort of scenario around how capability review in action could actually not only be beneficial to an organization, but help them to understand what are sort of some of the steps involved. And I'll talk you through a real life case study, an example of that, because I think going through a real example is going to help really hone in on sort of some of the key lessons and learnings in defining out what it is to be, you know, doing these reviews and why they're important. So I wanted to sort of just start off by sharing some insight around sort of our own journey to date. Now, for those of you that may have listened to previous episodes, you may realize that I have been running a business now, this business that I'm running, for about 4.5 years. And previous to that, I did set up and launch a business about 7 or 8 years ago. And if you've heard me talk about the previous business, it was basically a mixed bag of things. I didn't know what I was doing. I, like many entrepreneurs, just wanted to be in business for myself, and so didn't really have the clear focus, but I did have the tenacity to actually go ahead with it and just take that leap of faith. Now, moving forward, as a result of the lessons of my first business, I've employed, you know, a lot of common sense now and have improved the way that Agile Management Office, the company that I run today, is functioning as a result of the learnings from the first business. Now, what that means is our abilities and our capabilities have significantly improved, not only at a personal level, but also at a business level. And it's something that is extremely important, not only to myself as a CEO, but also to my team, because my team and I are working together in partnership. They're coming on this journey with me in this business. And not only are our employees part of that journey, but so are our customers. And so with the capability review process and everything I'm teaching you today is something that not only do we introduce that for customers, but it's something that we do for ourselves. And I found it exceptionally helpful to learn this. And I wish that I'd learned it sooner, but it's something that I only learned in this business. But I'm grateful that I've gotten to the point where it's really now starting to sort of blossom in the way that it has. So I wanted to share a little bit of sort of the meaning behind capability. As I mentioned, often people will misunderstand capability and may assume that looking at capabilities means you're sort of going to be looking at someone's strengths or weaknesses or their abilities to do something. And yes, that may be part of it, but that's not what we're referring to when I'm talking about capability reviews. That's only a small part of it. When we think about capability, a capability is the extent of someone or something's ability. Now, the someone at the individual level, the something in relation to businesses, organizations overall. Often people assume that capabilities relate solely to people. But more often than not, when an organization is referring to capabilities, they are looking at the organization as a whole, and people are simply part of that value chain. A capability is defined as the ability to execute a specified course of action. Because after all, these capabilities, the collective skills, abilities, the expertise of an organization, are all the outcomes of investment in staffing and training and upskilling, communication, you know, intervention from management, and a number of other things. In fact, a lot of the time, outputs of employee engagement surveys are a key identifier of areas that need improvement as well. And so capabilities at an organizational level represents the ways that people and resources are brought together to accomplish work. Now, I will call out and say that there is no predefined list of capabilities that is appropriate for every organization. That means there isn't a specific place that you can go and download them and apply them for your business, and they will be the same as every other business, regardless of the size or industry. Now, capabilities themselves are vast and varied, and the capabilities that are relevant for your business depends on many factors, including your industry, your customer segment, your staff profile, the size of your organization, the breadth and depth of what you do, the history behind your organization. Are you a new business and a business with much more greater depth of legacy and process? So you can see that the challenges around capabilities can be vast and varied, and therefore there is never a predefined list. Now, you can definitely find a number of capabilities that would apply to your business based on sort of looking at your industry, your sector, and identifying, you know, what other reviews have taken place and using that as a part of your development process. But I think looking at a larger range of capabilities, for example, in our business today, we've identified around 50 that are across 50 capabilities that are across 13 core capabilities, meaning the 13 core capabilities make up, the 50 smaller capabilities make up the 13 core capabilities. So when we go out to clients and go and offer them this capability review, we have the opportunity to work together with them to identify how far this capability review will go, based on their industry, based on whether they run a lot of projects, based on the type of governance they apply, how many people they've got working in there. And also a key part of capability uplift and a review is looking at what are the things that you believe are going to be of most strategic importance. Now, people often make an assumption that you look at capabilities and you need to review absolutely everything. You review it all at once and you come out with a really large list of capability improvement opportunities, and that you need to focus all your attention and resources and energy on addressing all of those. That's actually not correct, because there is a significant amount of thought and energy and time that goes into any change program. And so capabilities can make up part of that. Now, I'm going to explain a little bit more about how we do that and why it's been so important over the last 4 or 5 years with clients and what we've learned along the way. But one other thing to add as well is, don't confuse capabilities with activities. Activities, a series of activities, may make up a number of things that relate to certain capabilities, but they're actually completely different. The activities are effectively related to all capabilities and the processes that I'm going to cover in a moment in comparison to capabilities. What is business process? I'm going to explain sort of the difference of that. But I just wanted to sort of recap that, don't look for a specific list of capabilities that exist that is going to be exhaustive for your business. You need to look at what it is that your business is trying to achieve strategically and focus on capabilities that are going to help not your weaker areas, but actually the strengths to uplift and continue to push those further. Now, depending on whether you have got experience in the area of business process management, you may be familiar with business capabilities and business processes and the differences between them. But in case you're not, I thought I would share a little bit of the definitions of those two areas. When thinking about business capability, this is the ability of a business to deliver value to its customers and stakeholders. Think about it as the what that a business does, and it's often represented using a noun verb. The capabilities themselves are static, i.e. they don't change very often, and companies can acquire new capabilities to meet challenges. And so you might start with a certain number of capabilities, and then as a result of changes to your strategic vision and your mission in your business or organizational goals for the year, you may then acquire new capabilities based on what it is that you're trying to achieve. When we look at business processes, it's the way a business delivers value to its customers and stakeholders. So it's more the how a business works. It's represented using verb nouns, and the processes are dynamic and can change as per various requirements, and also can be changed as a result of business environmental conditions. And so when we think about capability, think about the what a business does. And when we think about business processes, think about the how. Now, when defining a capability improvement plan, we're always starting with the what and then help the organization later on to define the how. So I wanted to share a little bit more about the capability reviews. Now, I would say that capability reviews are single-handedly the reason why we've been successful to date. Capability reviews cannot be underestimated. I admit that I didn't really know much about them until I started developing sort of the review process many years ago as part of the work that I was doing in the corporate world. I found that as I would sort of move from organization to organization as a contractor, I would find myself undertaking a series of steps and looking at a series of capabilities in and around projects, programs, and portfolios. And those series of steps would actually all link to a sort of certain number of capabilities, many of them that were relevant to each organization I went into, particularly because the area that I was working in, and then others that I would sort of alternate or modify depending on the size or the industry. And so I started many years ago going through the process of undertaking these reviews, although at the time I do recall calling them functions. Functions was sort of the term that I was using, but I learned over the years that functions is not the right representation of what I was doing. It was more the capabilities. So the ability to do something. Remember, it's the what, not the how. So capability reviews became our independent sort of forward-looking assessment of an organization or a team within an organization's ability to meet future objectives and challenges. So it was about helping either a team, a department, or an organization overall assess what their capabilities were independently and help them to understand whether or not they had all the abilities or the capabilities that they needed at that point in time to help them to meet future objectives and challenges. Now, let me give you an example. If you're an organization that focuses on, for example, drinks, you make soft drinks, let's say. Now, you might have a certain number of capabilities that relate to sort of the manufacturing of soft drinks and may not need to be aware of capabilities that relate to anything that's outside of what those objectives are for your organization. Whereas if you decided to sort of turn your manufacturing facilities from soft drinks to, I don't know, medical supplies, for example, well, then you're going to need to acquire new capabilities in order to meet the demand of your new customer base and then support that industry. And so capabilities can be sort of core, enabling, or strategic. And so at an organizational level, you might have strategic capabilities that are different than the enabling capabilities that are within supporting functions like human resources or finance, for example. And so a capability review is a really, really helpful way, regardless of the size of your business, of considering how your organization itself aligns processes, systems, and expertise of its people to deliver on your objectives. Now, I often will get asked, what size organization is a capability review good for? And I will say pretty much any organization. And the reason I say that is because our business at the moment is less than 10 people. And we are following and using this process that we use with customers and actually have undertaken recently and regularly recheck our own capabilities on an annual basis to ensure that we've got the right capabilities needed to deliver what we're trying to deliver. And we're less than 10 people, a small business. And then this year alone, and we'll talk more to it in the case study, is an organization that is currently the second largest supermarket in the country and is listed on the Australian Stock Exchange. That is much, much bigger. And we also use the exact same capability review model for their business. And so you can see that it's something that can flex based on what is required, but you can understand a little bit better around why it's been so important. And not only is it helpful to have it versatile and flexible, but by being able to utilize it in our own business and then also in a large business, it's helped us to further refine it based on stakeholder feedback. And so it's really, really important to think about when doing a capability review, the outputs. And the outputs themselves will be a number of different factors. And one of those factors might be a capability model, which we could talk about more later. So I mentioned that over the last 5 years, we've undertaken a capability review at dozens of companies and across a number of industries, and also reviews that have spanned different countries. And it's been really interesting because no two reviews have ever looked the same. Now, I know that people will sometimes think that trying to do a review using the same approach, which we do, would mean that we would possibly be getting a very, very similar result when we're doing these reviews. But it is incredible the variances and the differences between industry, between company, depending on size, and even between competitors, which we've had the opportunity to undertake capability reviews across some competitor organizations, and just finding the vast differences between, you know, one organization being stronger in financial management versus another organization who might be stronger in risk management. And so seeing those differences is really, really interesting, because not only do we learn about the differences, but we also, because we're focusing on more than just the capability at the highest level, we're actually delving deeper, as I mentioned earlier, into the processes, the systems, the expertise of its people, etc. We're actually able to find synergies and similarities and understand where these sort of, where these capability gaps have been identified and where they're coming from. I thought it might be really interesting to share with you some of the things that we found. As I mentioned, when we go through and do these capability reviews, they're all very much personalized to the client. Yes, there is an approach that we take that is very similar, but overall, when we undertake the reviews, there is so many differences from the number of people we speak to the lower level processes we do within their organization to accommodate special requests, to actually the outputs that they receive. Now, not only do we do the reviews, but we actually utilize the anonymous data, because all of our review feedback comes through anonymously from the clients and their teams, to make sure that the feedback we receive in our reviews is not something that, you know, is going to get back to a manager about something that someone said or something that someone shared that maybe they felt was necessary to help their improvement journey, but didn't want it to be known that it's come from them. And so with that, we protect the data that comes from the end users, the stakeholders, that is, to make sure that we're getting as honest and open a conversation as possible. And so using the anonymous data and the insights leveraged from previous reviews, we help other organizations in the industry, in their industry rather, learn from others before them. So for example, we might find that through the application of a particular type of tool or a particular type of process, we might find that there's been some challenges with it that we learn from talking to end users and whatnot. And that helps give us a greater sense of appreciation for what are the possible challenges when looking at a particular tool in the market or looking at a particular process, and why or why not that has or hasn't worked. And so, you know, we get to learn with these organizations during these reviews, and the learnings not only help them because we can then put in place strategies to improve, but actually we learn together and it actually improves everything we do, because we take that learning and incorporate it back into our approach and make sure that we are progressing an even better review the next time round. And so it's constantly getting improved, and we're using a lot of reflective learning to ensure that we continuously grow from these reviews and from the feedback we get, and also make sure that our customers are continued to be well informed. So when doing these reviews, we have found so many different things across so many different areas. And it's really interesting because there are a number of different categories or capability areas that are often sort of highlighted as the most challenging for an organization. And because we spend a lot of time looking at projects, programs, portfolio, and governance, including the PMO and change management space, we find that sort of the key areas, I would probably say the maybe top three or four, I would say that financial management, so project cost management, is easily one of the most troubled areas. In reviews that we've undertaken over the last 4 or 5 years, we have found so many abnormalities and so many issues with the process and with the capability that clients are often not aware of some of the errors and issues going on within their portfolios. And that's often caused as a result of the way a lot of larger organizations are run, sort of in independent silos in some ways. And so often by having sort of the teams separated out the way they are, it does make it harder sometimes to align. And so one of the things that we focus on when helping organizations improve their governance is sort of a centralized single point of truth approach. And we get to see these sorts of things as a result of rather than waiting till they become an issue. So as an example, one of the things that we have found, one client was unaware that their contractors, so their external resources, were spending approximately 4 hours a week completing their online timesheets for the client. So most contractors will complete between 2 and 3 timesheets. One is usually for the main client. The second one is usually for the HR agency or the contractor agency that they work for. And sometimes there might be a third if they are completing timesheets for their own business, if they're, working through an ABN or whatnot. But on average, it's at least 2. I would probably say 2. I've seen 3 though, and it's gets quite messy. And we found that within this organization, the management team were unaware that between the sort of outdated timesheeting system, the lack of information and sort of onboarding into the system, if you like, and the sort of user error as well, that the contractors were spending an average of 4 hours a week. Now, if we're talking about project people, anything from sort of project managers or project, let's just say they're on $800 a day. That's $100 an hour. That's $400 a week spent on time cheating. Now, that's not an efficient use of time, or is it good value for money? So this was an issue that we had to address. Other things that we found with one client, we identified that they had within a large program that they had 3 of their project steering committees all with independent people, but the financials related to the overall program, and the information in each of those steering committees from a financial perspective were actually different. But it was the same program of work, and the information within those reports didn't match back to their financial system. So the financial system had the right information, but the reports were all wrong, and there was problems with them, and it was a lack of communication. Again, something that they may not have picked up. In another instance, a client was unaware that a vendor was poorly managing their operations side, and it resulted in them invoicing an $800,000 amount twice with 2 different invoice numbers, but it was only incurred once, yet they were invoicing the company twice. In another organization, we found that they had duplicated resource effort in their operations team multiple times across multiple schedules. Even though the person was only able to work 40 hours a week, they were in the different schedules 3 times, meaning they were scheduled to work 120 hours in a week. Now, that's not likely to be real, so we were able to sort of call these things out. And then one of the really interesting ones was a sort of a large banking client of ours was unaware that their general managers, who were quite senior, were spending 30% of their time doing PMO or project administrative tasks that were completely unnecessary for their level of management. And if you think about what a general manager gets paid in a big bank, and I'm not sure what that is, but I'd imagine it would be quite high. Imagine that for 30% of their week being invested in something that sort of a project administrator could be doing. And so these are all sorts of things that we find. We find things that could really be problematic down the line, like sort of more deeper level issues around risks or change or auditability. And sometimes we find things that are sort of more on an engagement side. For example, you know, feedback from a number of staff complaining about lack of visibility to the organization or the department they were working in, strategic roadmap, and not feeling that they were connected to that. And so there's so many different things that we do find in reviews. And as I mentioned, no two reviews have ever looked the same. And it's a really fascinating sort of opportunity to not only learn from this, but actually work with the organizations to then later improve. So those examples were across over a dozen companies, some of the examples of varied industries. But I wanted to talk to you about a really specific example of a client that we worked with over the last couple of years. And we had the great opportunity to work with Australia's second largest supermarket chain, and that was Coles Group. And we were able to work within the payment services arm of their business, which is quite large. To give you an idea, their customers for Coles payment services department include the likes of Officeworks and Target and Kmart Tire and Auto, now known as MyCar, and Liquorland, just to name a few. So they have quite a large customer base that they support with their payments business. And so we sort of understood what their vision was and what they were trying to do and what their mission was. And their vision was to be and is to be and are continuously working towards being a world-class payments provider. Now, when we were engaged, they knew they had some areas of challenge because they had recently demerged from Wesfarmers Group. And that demerger came with it its own challenges. As you can imagine, any demerger does have challenges. And so in addition to demerging from Wesfarmers Group and coming back under the Coles Group umbrella directly, they also needed to scale up their services. They scaled up their team. There was quite a lot of work that they needed to do to integrate back into the overall Coles Group rather than being standalone as they were sort of previously. And there was a lot of activity that needed to happen. And they would work through that, and they had their own sort of approach and progress that with a number of projects and programs, etc. Now, in addition to that, as they defined and sort of redefined their payment services function, as it's called today, they went through a journey. And in that journey, the idea was to do a number of different things that helps them to progress their vision of becoming a world-class payments provider. From our perspective, we were engaged to identify the core capabilities that were relevant to their needs at the time. And so we understood their vision, and we worked with the management team to understand what the core capabilities or the relevant capabilities for them at the time. And as I mentioned before, the capabilities vary from company to company and industry to industry and client to client. And so the capabilities we defined with them for them were different to that of our previous clients. Using this information, we then undertook an assessment, and we used a number of different techniques, including in-person interviews, online questionnaires, and observation techniques. We then discussed the findings in multiple offsite sessions with the leadership team and agreed to proceed with a sort of change management plan that we developed to address these. It wasn't about addressing weak capabilities, because capabilities were there, but it was rather focusing on the ones that would be providing the greatest value in terms of the strategy and the vision, and, you know, double down on those. Now, one of the things I sort of have observed in the industry that we work in is that often there are, it's not that there aren't reviews being done out there. There is. There's a lot of companies that do reviews. Now, every company will do a review in their own, you know, their own unique way. But one of the things that I found and also observed through talking to clients was I found like there is a gap between identifying the need for a review and actually then addressing the outputs or the outcomes of that review. And I felt like there's a gap, there was a gap in this space because a lot of the times doing the review, you know, it's really the easy part. The, you know, it's not without its challenges and it's not simple to do, not completely in the sense that there's, you know, no effort, but easy in the sense that you've got a defined approach of how you want to approach it. And then you just need to get the input from your customer and their teams. And that's the part where people are really open and willing to share and learn as long as you're able to demonstrate to them and in honesty that the information they're getting, not only is it anonymous, but also that you're going to be using that to be beneficial for them in the long term. And so we were really able to do that. But the key point is that a lot of the times reviews are done and like some employee engagement surveys, things are done and assessed and you get a report and it's see you later and nothing happens after that. If we just developed a review and provided the information to the client and left them at that, it's unlikely that much would have progressed. And I'm not saying about this particular client, but I've seen it before where some clients just don't have the capacity, maybe they don't have the resources available, or maybe they've just got too many other things going on managing their business, their core business, than to be worried about trying to develop a change plan that understands the outputs of a consultancy's review. And so what we do is we actually work with the client and help them define that roadmap based on the things that are going to drive them the biggest quick wins in the shortest amount of time, then with a medium and a longer term plan for all the other things they need to focus on. Now, one of the things we identify in that journey is that there are always many interdependencies across capabilities that we also have to map out. Capabilities are not always, they're not independent of each other. They actually will have a lot of synergies in some instances and a lot of interdependencies. So you need to be sure to take those into account as well when you're defining your plan. So we looked at the outputs of the review and we invested time in developing the action plans and the results we were trying to achieve. This client was actually interested in uplifting a number of areas, but one of them was improving their employee engagement scores, which was a key performance indicator for them. Now, that's something that most companies around the world, if not all of them, want to do. So it's not a unique request, but the request itself was really important to them. Being a new function within Coles Group, they actually obviously are coming back into the organization than originally being standalone. And so it was really important to sort of bed down all of the changes that were happening and make sure that the teams were happy. And they absolutely were. So we not only developed a program of work and a change approach for this using the AMO method that we've developed, our proprietary approach, but we actually utilized an 8-step proven process that we've used previously in other organizations and used that 8-step process to facilitate and embed the change, the necessary change. Not only did we develop the assessment, but we created a virtuous cycle of assessment and reinvestment. And using that rigorous assessment process, we helped the company executives figure out what capabilities were required for their success so they can then in turn decide where they wanted to invest for further iterations that we did with them. So over time, there was, you know, a number of different repeat partial assessments across different capabilities where necessary, but ultimately we started off with a baseline and we used that as part of our benchmarking process. Through the work that we did with them and undertaking the 8-step process, which we did in over a 3-month period at the beginning of COVID in March 2020, and saw that through to just to the start of June 2020 rather. But prior to that, we had already done a lot of building work and legwork. And so over a sort of a period of 18 months, we were re-engaged five times as a result of that virtuous cycle of assessment and investment. Ultimately, our expectations for improvement and their expectations were aligned because we made sure that they were aligned every step of the way. We created executable plans that covered 90-day periods and we made 90-day iterations. And what we did is we made sure that within those 90-day periods that we had clearly defined measurements for how we were going to assess the improvements and the progress towards our goals. We looked at what we were responsible for delivering, how it was going to be measured, how we were going to monitor progress, what were the decisions that were needed to make immediately versus in the longer term, and who in their organization was going to be involved in this change. Now, we were very fortunate because in the last iteration from earlier this year, we managed to get over a third of the department involved in the project. And they were super engaged, even though they were remote working and it was in the midst of COVID. In the midst of COVID, whilst remote working, using video conferencing facilities and other facilities that we were already established for, in one of the busiest sectors in Australia or in the world based on the current environment being a supermarket, and one of the busiest organisations being our second biggest supermarket in the country, together we were able to not only embed positive change and bring their team together on the journey, but through the actions and the work that we did and our 8-step process for change, we uplifted the employee engagement scores by 15% on the year prior. And I'm very fortunate to say that in addition to receiving some exceptional feedback from those running the department, they not only were personally grateful for the work that was done, but I actually received a phone call from the executive to advise me of the scores increase and advised me that the 15% increase was significantly up on the year prior. And that was a testament to the work that we were doing. And so it was a really, really positive thing, that result. And so this was all led from the work that we did in and around the capabilities. And as I mentioned at the beginning, the capability assessment, the capability review can be done for any size organization. And we can target focus certain areas or cover a wider range of areas and then narrow down our focus to address them. We can work with you to address them, or we can facilitate the change by working with your team and helping them to address them. Either way, the capability assessment, the review process helps to identify areas of improvement, opportunities, risks, and also helps provide management clear visibility on the areas needing some focus that are going to help to meet an organization's objectives. It's a really simple process, involves engagement, deep diving, and then producing a report. And that ultimately serves as your baseline and your benchmark to move forward. All in all, it was a really successful engagement, but we never forget that if we'd not taken that journey from start to finish, we wouldn't be where we are today. And so remember that when thinking about capabilities, it's different to business process. Remember that capabilities themselves are both at an individual level and an organizational level. Remember that the capability review process is always personalized and that it should cover processes, systems, and expertise of its people to deliver on objectives. Remember that thinking about capabilities, doing that right from the get-go, it will give you an opportunity to not only assess where you need to go, but assess where you are today. So hopefully that has been a good overview for you around capabilities and capability reviews and why it's so important. And I hope that you have found today helpful. Thank you for listening to this podcast. We welcome any feedback. Please let us know by going to www.agilemanagementoffice.com/agile ideas. You can also find us on most social media channels by searching Agile Ideas or follow me on LinkedIn. Thank you for listening. Please share or rate this if you enjoyed it. I hope you've been able to learn, feel, think, or be inspired today. Until next time, what's your Agile idea?